For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
Praise the Lord. Let's open in prayer tonight. Quieten our hearts before the Lord and be ready to receive of Him. The Spirit of God is here, and God wants to get some things to us, and in fact into our hearts. Praise the Lord. Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we commit this time to You. I commit this word to You, and Father, I ask that as the word goes forth, it produces fruit for You in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. So tonight we're going to be looking at God comforts those who are cast down. God comforts those who are cast down. And we must remember, as we look at this, that there is, in the scriptures, words that tell us just exactly what God is doing for us. Praise the Lord. So let's first of all look at John chapter 14. And we see what the Lord Jesus Christ says to His people, and He's giving this assurance, even in the midst of a time when there might be trouble. I'm looking at John 14, verse 27. And Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So we see there's an assurance here of a peace that's beyond what the world can give. That assurance is that wonderful comfort that God can give to us, so there is a quietness within us. Even though there is trouble that could, and of course the devil, the adversary, is trying to get that trouble into us, into our soul, trying to get us so that if our soul is cast down, then obviously that's going to affect the way we think. That's one of the ways he gets strongholds into people's lives, is through this whole area of targeting the thought life of people. And the Bible talks about casting down imaginations. And we know that the Lord has given to us, as it says here, His peace. His peace. In fact, if you go back just a little bit further, go to verse 26. It says, "But the Comforter," notice the title of the Holy Ghost here, "but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So we have the Spirit of God who is now present with us. It's the Spirit of God who's going to teach you. He'll teach you how to behave. He'll teach you how to pray. He'll teach you from the Word, very important things that you need to have in your heart as you go forward in Him. So, obviously, if you were to listen to only the worldly sources, there's various ways that the world tries to get peace, but there is that proper peace that comes from God, even when, as I said before, even when the enemy might be firing darts. So one of those darts might be thoughts of worry and fear. And we must have hope in God, because God is the one that gives us that peace, that comfort. And if the Holy Ghost has been sent, we know He's been sent, He was sent on the day of Pentecost, He's here with us, He's going to be teaching things to you. He's going to bring things to your remembrance. But how can you have it in your remembrance unless it's been deposited in your heart, in your soul. So that's where the soul, the mind, will, and emotions has that remembrance part of it. If you have a look at Psalm 42, Psalm 42 talks about the soul being cast down. And we know that we are to trust in the Lord God. We are to trust in Him. We are to hope in Him. And that's what the Bible says here. In Psalm 42, we'll have a look at verse 5. Psalm 43 verse 5 it is. But Psalm 43 verse 5, we'll go back to Psalm 42 in a minute. It says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God." So here we see that one big aspect of people being cast down is the targeting of the soul. We mentioned that last week as well. And it says, well, the question that's being asked here is, "And why art thou disquieted within me?" Well, that disquieted is the opposite of having peace. He's saying, how is it that trouble has got in there? And so he encourages himself and he says, "Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God." So he's the one that uplifts us. And so we should be praising him because we walk by faith, not by sight. So even if circumstances might be saying to us, no, you should be worrying about this. This is something you shouldn't be just not concerned about. God will say to us, there is another way. Because the Bible that we read before in John 14 tells us that there is a peace that the world doesn't have. Praise the Lord. Now, if you go back to Psalm 42, we'll look at verse 5 onwards here. It says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the health of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites, from the hill Mizar." So you can see that, and remember we read about the Holy Ghost, who is the Comforter, will bring to remembrance things to you. And one of those things that we can remember is what God has accomplished for us in the past and what he is accomplishing for us even now. We can see that as we believe on him, there is victory. In fact, the Bible says to us that we always triumph in Christ. We always triumph in Christ. But you've got to trust in Christ to always triumph in Christ. So there's that memory. It says in verse 6, "O my God, my soul is cast down within me, therefore." Okay, so how do we get that so that our soul is no longer cast down? Well, God's comfort, the Comforter is going to talk to us. He's going to teach us how to think, how to do things, how to believe. He's going to bring to remembrance the things of God. But you know, if you don't spend any time in the Word, if you don't act on the Word, you're not going to be mixing things with faith. And so there's going to be that casting down that happens within people. If you also look just a little bit further down, verse 10, "As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God?" Okay, see, that's not a very good situation, is it? Where you've got people saying, where is your God? You know, you reckon you're a Christian. Where is your God? What's happening to you? You know, you're just like us. But see, all of that is absolutely wrong. Because the Lord God has given us hope. Jesus said that he's given peace. And in fact, the promise of the Father was that the Comforter would come, the Holy Ghost would come. So we know that we, above all people, should be people that have what? Well, we have peace, comfort, joy, all of this is available to us. Glory to God. And verse 11 follows on from verse 10. You've got people saying, where is thy God? You know, you've heard the accusations. You've heard the negativity coming from the world and its sources. You know, if you were to immerse yourself, then you could see this is a daily thing on the part of the psalmist here. But if you were daily to immerse yourself in things that are negative and worldly and were not around people who could speak faith or who had any godly beliefs and so on, you're going to find yourself affected. And, you know, you, for example, you see Lot in the book of Genesis. He had this vexation the Bible talks about. He was vexed by what the wicked were doing. Well, he had separated himself from Abraham. And there was this environment he'd placed himself into which was extraordinarily negative. And we know that what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah, of course. So verse 11 of Psalm 42 says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. So you can see that at least three times this is repeated. Psalm 42 is repeated twice. And Psalm 43, we see it's repeated as well. If something's repeated in the Bible like this, it has a certain amount of importance that God's trying to get through to us about the soul. He's trying to say, well, look, there is trouble around. There are things that are going to be affecting you or try to affect you even daily. But I'm here. I'm with you. And you can hope in me, and you should be hoping in me. And you should be praising me, as it says there. So, for I shall yet praise him. This is something we should be doing. Who is the health of my countenance. He's the one that strengthens us, that lifts us up, brightens us. We can walk with the step of a good man is ordered by the Lord. We can walk with joy. You know, all this type of thing is something that God has put into us, and we need to receive of that. So he is our God. He is my God. And you think about that. There are people without a covenant, without God, who haven't heard the gospel. You know, I pray that the gospel will be preached, the glorious gospel will be preached right through Geelong. In fact, not just Geelong, but right through Victoria and Australia. And even across the globe, right across the globe. Now, I'm not just talking about a weak gospel here. I'm talking about a life-changing, miraculous gospel, as the Bible calls it, the glorious gospel. So there is that solution for people to be casting down. Let's have a look now at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Chapter 1, and we'll start from verse 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. So 2 Corinthians 1, verse 2 says, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So notice where he's talking about the source of peace is from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, as we saw in John 14, Jesus said that he left his peace with us. So it's a good thing to say, I have the peace of Christ in me. And I'm not going to let my heart be troubled. You know, let this word be in your mouth. If you don't, If you don't allow, and the spirit of faith is all about, I believed and therefore have I spoken. If you don't speak it out, you know, there is power in the tongue. If you don't speak it out, that power is not released as it should be. And this is what the psalmist was talking about with the praise. So actually speak these things out. I like to say, God is my fortress and refuge. God is my strength and power. I like to say that. You know, it goes against the grain of the world. I like to say, God has delivered me from all my fears, even the fear of man. I like to say that now. You know, and here's something, you know, we can say, thank you, Lord, I have the peace that comes from God. I have the peace that has been given to me by the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3 says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of what? All comfort. The God of all comfort. So we should be looking to God who comforts us even in tribulation or trouble. And that's what it says in the next part here. So let's just repeat verse 3 again. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So let's just think about that a bit. So notice, first of all, verse 3 talks about that he is the God of all comfort. The God of all comfort. And then verse 4 says, who comforteth us in that some of our tribulation? No, all of our tribulation. So the promise that Jesus says, in the world ye shall have tribulation. So there's going to be tribulation. There's going to be trouble. Okay, another scripture talks about that there would be persecution. But that doesn't mean that we collapse and say, well, woe is me, there's nothing that can be done. No, we're believers. We're not people that lack strength, or we shouldn't be people that lack strength. The Bible says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Okay, so we know the scripture that talks about, you know, if you fail in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. So the building up of your strength, building up of your faith is very, very important. And a good thing to do is to look into the scriptures and see, well, what is the Lord promising us? What is he showing us? Even if we're cast down, we can look to the Lord. We can hope in God, as we saw the psalmist was doing. We can understand that the Comforter is in us. And the Comforter is bringing to remembrance things. He's bringing to remembrance the Word of God. He's bringing to remembrance various things that have happened in our life which have brought us into a state of victory and prosperity and health and strength and so on. So these are very important things to take hold of. So verse 4 says, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, not just some, that we, now this is a very important part of it. It's not just for ourselves. You know, we're part of the body and we're members one of another. So we're joined, just like the body parts are joined together. Like the finger is joined to the hand and the hand is joined to the arm and so on. There is a relationship between us all. And so, you know, if you see your brother or sister struggling and in need, well, what is the Bible telling us here? That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So now we can help others who may not know, and I dare say that there are a lot of people who don't know how to even walk by faith, much less believe God for things properly. And may not even be aware of the commandment, let not your heart be troubled, and peace has been given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, if you're a Bible-believing Christian, you should be aware of these things. And you have comfort in you. We're comforted by God. So we should be able to comfort others, which are, as it says, be able, there's an ability within us, because we've been comforted, there's an ability within us that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Verse 5 says, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Now you may not suffer as Paul did. God gave him strength, in fact gave him the grace to be able to suffer what he suffered. But there'll be a certain amount of godly suffering. I'm not talking about suffering at the hands of the devil. There'll be a certain amount of godly suffering which might come through, say, persecution. But God gives us the grace. Remember what we read right at the very beginning there in verse 2. Grace be to you. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So God gives you grace, that enabling for you to be able to stand, and having done all, to stand. And remember what we're talking about, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. So that's where we've got to have our focus on, is on the Lord and the peace and the comfort that he gives us. And so even though there may be sufferings that may even abound, and I'm not talking about suffering, and neither is Paul here talking about suffering at the hands of the devil, but obviously suffering for your faith. So our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. So consolation is that wonderful comfort that comes, also aboundeth by Christ. Verse 6, and whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. So notice he's talking about enduring. And I'm all for strengthening people and for Christians to be strong people. Not folding when there's a bit of pressure. Not falling in a heap when things might go badly. Now, the Bible does talk about brethren that are weaker, but it also talks about growth. So a person that might be weaker in the faith, you don't want them to stay in that situation, stay at that level. They've got to be strengthened and grow. How do they grow? Well, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So there's got to be that feeding of the word to people so they start to grow and get stronger. Now I would pray and hope in the Lord that everyone here, for example, would be able to say, well, I'm stronger now than I was 5 years ago or 10 years ago or 20 years ago. I'm stronger now and I've gone through a bit and I know about the comfort of God. So I pray that you'd be able to say that type of thing. Now, imagine children growing up in the environment of the Word. If they're brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, they can grow up to be very strong so that the pressures that might come against them later in life, they're not going to fold with that. They're going to understand about strength. They're going to see that the Bible makes sense and so on. And they're going to be able to endure, as he says in verse 6, which is effectual in the enduring of the same suffering which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. In other words, he's saying, look, this is something that by you understanding that we're able to endure that suffering that we've gone through, and that we've been comforted from God, by you understanding that, it's going to help you. It's going to help the salvation of your soul, for example. It's going to help you to see that you also can trust in the Lord for endurance. You also can trust in the Lord for comfort. Okay, so this is an important thing to get hold of. Verse 7 says, "And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation." So even though there's sufferings, you're going to have that consolation, that assurance within you that God's comfort is there, that God is present, that His strength is for you. Glory to God. So if you go down a little bit further, look at verse 12. It says, "For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world, and more abundantly to you would. For we write none other things unto you than what ye read or acknowledge, and I trust ye shall acknowledge even to the end, as also ye have acknowledged us in part, that we are your rejoicing, even as you also are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus." So he's saying, look, we're examples, and we're showing you how to walk in this way. You've seen us suffer, but you've also seen us partake of God's victory, and there's consolation in that for you. And that's the type of thing we've got to be. We've got to understand that even though we might be cast down or things might happen, we're going to get up. We're going to be people that get up and continue on and go forward in God. We're not going to allow that thing to stay. So if you have a look at Ephesians 6, across to Ephesians 6. One of the things that we really need to understand is that, there is an enemy trying to get us to trust in things other than the Lord and to look to things other than His Word. If you have a look at verse 10 onwards here, and what we're pointing you to is that you don't have to stay cast down. Your soul doesn't have to stay cast down. You don't have to stay in a situation of weakness. You can start to, even from this day forward, look to the Lord on a constant basis through prayer, meditation of the Word, believing the Word and speaking it out, things like that, fellowshipping with others of like mind and getting encouragement and comfort, as we saw Paul was pointing to. And verse 10 says in Ephesians 6, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." So we're trusting in the Lord's strength. We're trusting in His power. Praise the Lord. Verse 11, "Put on the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Now this spiritual armour has a lot of meaning to it. And we're not going to go right through it today, but we have to understand that wiles of the devil, wiles talks about tricks and schemes and all types of things to get you into a place of unbelief, fear, worry, deception, all that type of thing. But what's God wanting you to do? He's wanting you to trust in Him, to trust in His power and His might, as it says there, and to be able to stand, even if there is opposition coming towards you, to be able to stand, okay, that you may be able to stand. That talks about having an ability, but there's also your responsibility to put on the whole armour of God, and that armour comes on through belief, through faith, okay. There is a wrestling, but it doesn't mean we're looking at, oh, there's a stronghold over Geelong, so therefore we've got to cast down that stronghold. No. The strongholds, it comes into people's souls, okay? And the wrestling is when the devil tries to get you off the track, and you've got to keep him in the spirit realm and say, it is written, this is what I'm going to believe. I refuse to accept your word about this. And that's what it says in verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Okay, so notice it says darkness of this world. Well, we're children of light. So things should open up to us in terms of our understanding and our soul being free from being cast down. Verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armour of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, praise God, to stand. Well, stand is the opposite of being cast down. Okay? God wants you to stand, even when there is attacks coming against you. That's what this armour is about. God has equipped you. This is what it's saying. God has equipped you. If you have a look down verse 16, I think it bears, or 16 to 18 we'll go to, I think it bears good to have a look at this. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Okay, you've got to have faith. And that means you've got to be a word person. A word person will be able to take the shield of faith. Wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Think about that. The wicked, the devil, and his minions are firing these darts at you. You've got to raise up the shield of faith. That shield will keep you from being affected. It'll cause you to be able to maintain your stand. Okay, verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation. And that's symbolic of thinking correctly about salvation. And it's directly around the soul part, the mind, will, and emotions. The helmet of salvation. Thinking correctly, understanding and believing correctly. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, how are you going to be able to use the sword of the Spirit unless you know the word of God? And I've seen it before. I've seen people try to use the sword of the Spirit, but they just don't know the word. The word's not in them. The word's not in them. So you have to take hold, as the Bible says, possess your soul. You have to take hold of the things of God, and you have to believe the word of God and get it into your heart. As you get the word of God into your heart, the strength is going to be there, the ability is going to be there, and the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, is able to use, by bringing remembrance of the word of God to you, is going to be able to use that when there's attacks that'll come. And you'll be able to say, no, I cast down that imagination, or that stronghold, in the name of Jesus, because it is written. So you start to use, as Jesus did in the temptation in the wilderness, he said, it is written against Satan. And then verse 18 talks about praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, notice that we are to be praying with all prayer. So there's all types of prayer. There's praise, there's asking for things, there's praying in the Spirit, praying in English or with the mind, with the Spirit, praying with all prayer. So have a good prayer life. We need to have a prayer life. As it says there, and watching there unto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So your Christian life is not just about yourself. We saw that in that 2 Corinthians chapter 1, that where we should be able to comfort other people. In other words, help other people. Your prayer life is not about just yourself. Your Christian life is not just about yourself. Believe it or not, there are other Christians in other churches and right across the globe. And that means that we should also be praying for them. In fact, I encourage you to, in your prayers, be uplifting the brethren, that is those who are actually born again, in Geelong and in the Lord, asking that they come into an awakening unto righteousness, come into a greater revelation of the things of God and of his word, so that they too can come into victory and faith and to be able to stand even in the midst of trouble. And that consolation can come to them too, praise the Lord. So let's ask that God will open up doors for us to be able to help others. But we ourselves have to be comforted, don't we? We ourselves have to have that consolation. We ourselves have to have that endurance. And we ourselves have to be able to, if we're cast down, get back up and continue the walk of faith, praise the Lord. And as I said before, as we grow older in the Lord, we should be getting stronger, not weaker, but stronger. And then we'll be able to help others in the body of Christ and so on. And the Lord will use us, I'm sure, in that. But we have to be open to that. We have to be open to that because I believe that at this particular time in history, there are many, many Christians who are cast down, feel cast down, feel as though they're been rejected and so on. But they don't have to be like that. They can look to God and see what he has for them in his word. So let's close in prayer and thank the Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you are the God of all comfort. And even though your people may be cast down for a time, Lord, or our soul may be cast down, we can look to you and hope in you. And Father, we know that you provide the grace and peace, and we praise you for that, Lord. I pray that everyone here and those who hear this message, Lord, would come to a realization, an understanding that you are the God of all comfort and that we are to look to you for all comfort. And we are to look to you for that endurance and grace and peace, and we praise you, Lord, for that. I pray your peace be upon every person here and your blessing and your strength upon every person here. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Amen.